Last week, just a quick recap, we started the story of Joseph. Now this dude, it's just the storyline from hell. I'm just telling you, it's the worst. There's nothing good about this story. I do not want to live this story. It's just terrible. And so we defined Joseph had a bunch of dreams, and so we're using the phrase God dreams to let that define where we're going in life and what we're doing. So we defined a God dream as a lifelong passion that will require divine intervention for it to come to pass. So last week we answered a simple question: what happens when God gives us a God dream? When we landed on two things: internal conflict and external conflict. Super simple, super deep, but this is what real life looks like. We got umbrellas. Internal conflict and external conflict. So we ended the story last week with Joseph being sold by his brothers into legit slavery to some randos who were just walking by. Like, this is what happens in the Word of God, okay? And so his brothers kidnapped him, sold him into slavery, and the brother's goal was to kill his dream. Not necessarily him, one of them wanted him dead, but they really just wanted to kill his dream. And so here's what they said in Genesis 37, starting in 19. He said, here's what the brother said: here comes that dreamer. Y'all say that dreamer. Here comes that dreamer. Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these pits. We can tell our father a wild animal's eating him, and then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. Well, if you're dead, your dream probably ain't coming to life. I mean, I know a guy that we read about later, Lazarus, who ended up dead in a pit, and somehow he ended up walking back around. And then there was this other dude I read about, his name is Jesus, ended up dead in a pit, and he too ended up walking back around. But that's not where we're going today. But I can see you connecting the dots. You're just so smart. I see you doing that. So Joseph's dreams were effectively dead, and that's where we ended last week. It was super positive and uplifting. But anybody looking at his life was like, yup, this dude's dreams are super dead. He's out of luck. He probably should have kept his mouth shut when God gave him the dreams, and then he wouldn't be in this problem. Because that's what happened. Joseph started running his mouth to his brothers like, I'm going to be the boss. Y'all are like literally going to bow down and worship me. And like, no. If either one of my little brothers said that, I'd probably just pop them and move on. But these guys had a different idea. Let's actually sell him into whatever. I love my brothers too. They're fine. Joseph was locked in slavery with no way out, and his dreams went dormant. And so today I want to answer the question: what happens when your dream goes dormant? Father, we want to give you today. It's already yours, and we're just so grateful for your presence. I'm so grateful for that extra blessing you gave us while we worshiped you, while we reminded ourselves of who you are. God, I thank you and I praise you. Lord, use me to bring your word. I love you. Amen. So what do we do when our dream goes dormant? I'm talking about those seasons of life when like absolutely nothing goes according to plan. Do I have any planners in here? Like, I want the plan written out. Yeah, I just don't understand you, guy. I'm just here for the moment. Okay, I don't understand you. But like, nothing's going according to Joseph's plan. I'm talking about the seasons of life that force you into making a decision that's going to effectively stall out your dreams. I tell you, me, I kind of revert back to like some old bad habits that I've already conquered. Anybody else? No? Just me? Okay, sometimes, like when all of life smacks me in the face, I just like crawl back into bed and I try to sleep the pain away. Yeah, okay, I see you. I love it. You know, when I wake up, it's all going to be better, of course. Or, you know, you might be the person, you know, you lift up the rug and you just kind of scoot it under little by little. And you can ignore the pain away until you're like tripping over it. Maybe you try to like numb the pain away. Maybe that's your thing. Maybe you try to just ignore it away. Maybe you try to entertain the pain away, like Netflix, movies, food, trash TV. Another thing I do is I like work out the pain away. This is my coping mechanism. I like to run. I like to exercise. It makes me feel good. And so, like, if I work out hard enough, I'll be stronger than the stupid things that are dumb enough to face me, right? That's how it works. If you see me literally running down the road crying, that's me and the Lord dealing with stuff. Just go right on along. You don't even have to honk and wave, like, it's fine. But that's part of my process. I gotta go. It's a healthier option, but it's still trying to compensate for my dormant dreams. Okay? This is what real life is. So just a quick bit of, like, life lesson 101. I was taught a long time ago, if you're facing a major life decision, you have to halt, H-A-L-T. You never make a major life decision if you're halt, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. I will. Never make a major life decision if you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Y'all say halt.
Halt.
I'm telling you, it never works out. Because my hunger leads to anger, just hanger, and then I'm lonely because no one wants to play with me, and then I'm like down on myself, and I'm just going to make whatever decision is going to make me feel the best. I'm telling you, that's not a great way to live life. Halt. Okay, just a little bit of life lesson 101. But what we're going to see as we dig into Joseph is a way different version of how to deal with dormant dreams. We're going to jump over to chapter 39, Genesis chapter 39. And we're going to see what Joseph does, okay? Here's what the Word of God says, starting in verse 1. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So just so we're tracking, it was like Pharaoh, the king, Potiphar, and then this dude, Potiphar, bought Joseph. Are we cool? All right, just tracking. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. This particular verse is so far out of left field. This don't make sense. We just read that Joseph was bought. How do you buy people? He was bought. And the Lord was with him. What are you talking about? That does not look like what I envision of the Lord being with me. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. So the implication here is that as the Lord was with Joseph, track with me, okay? Joseph was in turn with the Lord. Are we simple enough? Not too deep theology. This is good stuff. This simple fact completely defined Joseph's life in a way that doesn't make sense. And I'll just tell you super plainly right at the beginning here. When the Lord is with you, the uncommon becomes super common. The supernatural becomes super normal. This is what happens. We can take life when real life hits us in the face and we just can't figure out what to do next. Like a peace that passes all understanding can completely surround your life. We just sang Jehovah Shalom. That means the Lord, my peace. That dude is all about your life. So much of like the hard knocks of life can be avoided with the simple determination to simply be with the Lord. So what did Joseph do when his dream went dormant? He was with the Lord. Y'all say, with the Lord. It's easy. You know where you'll find like answers to questions that you have and hope that you've lost and where you'll find real life and love and acceptance and dreams with the Lord. We're going deep today. Y'all get this is you might not leave with anything else but just be with the Lord, and I'm totally cool with that. Okay? There's absolutely nothing we can accomplish without God's divine help. Let me put it in very basic terms. Jacoby, I think it was you talking about it. Waking up this morning was a miracle. Or maybe it was Kiri. It was Jacoby. One of y'all. Just waking up today was a miracle from the Lord who was with you. It took a miracle to get me out of bed today. That was God Almighty working, okay? What about like walking into your kitchen that's full of food? That's a miracle from the Lord who is with you. What about walking back into your closet and having so many options you have an identity crisis of what to wear because of how much the Lord has been with you? What about coming to a church community full of people that love you no matter what? That's a miracle from the Lord who is with you. I think we take for granted all the miracles of God's consistency when the simple fact that the Lord is with us is the only reason that we succeed in anything. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did. Maybe this simple truth is what you came to be reminded of. You know, this thought, being reminded of simple truth, is why I love worship so much. Because no matter what, we can just go back into the same course again, and all things are working out for my good. And I don't have to worry about it. It's going to work for me. But I'm going to sing it until I believe it. Because that's what the Word of God says. If the Word of God says it, I'm going to believe it. And it's just that simple with me. The Lord is with you. The Bible also says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's what worship is. It's just a melodic version of the Word of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, the Lord is with you. Boom. Easy. Faith is building right now. I can already feel it. You're like, Ryan, okay, you said the Lord is with you 1,000 times. I know, but I don't know that we fully believe it yet. So y'all help me this time, okay? We're going to say, so we're going to read this one, verse 1 again. Miss Shelby, drop that on me. The Lord was with Joseph, but we're going to pause there, and we're going to take off Joseph's name, and we're going to add your name. So it would sound like, the Lord is with Ryan. Okay, so y'all say, the Lord is with Ryan. I heard more of this side. Let's hear this side. The Lord is with Ryan. I love it. The Lord is with Ryan. So he is successful in everything he did. Can I just tell you, I've not been successful in everything I did. This might be because there have been moments and seasons in my life when I have not been with the Lord who has been with me. But the fact remains that if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he was with me yesterday, even while I was acting a fool, at the slip and slide, having fun. He's with me today, right now, and he's already got plans to be with me tomorrow. Like his agenda, his planner opened up, he's like, yep, Ryan, or Amanda, Caden, Alexis. He's got you planned out because that's how big he is. That's how much he values being with you. You are on his day planner every single day. And that is so, so amazing. So I don't want us to slip into bad theology or bad thinking and trying to be successful in order to gain more attention from God. He's already given you all the attention that he can ever give you, which is all of it. And because he is God, he can give all of his attention to you. He can give it all to you. He can give it all to you. Like, this is how amazing God is. God has had you in his sights and on his planner since before you were formed in your mother's womb. There's never been a day in the history of your life when God, the Lord, has not been with you. The Bible said, just in case we miss it again in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Y'all know what the word master means? It's kind of like owner, but nowadays when we think of owner, we think of like a business owner, like, you know, somebody who runs things, and that's okay, that's sort of what, but this is like master owner of Joseph's literal butt, okay? Like, I own my car. That means I can do whatever I want with my car. I can destroy it. I can, you know, fix it up and make it nice. I can do whatever I want to do with my car. It's mine. I own it. Bank doesn't own my car. I own my car. This is mine. I can do whatever I want. Joseph didn't get to eat, sleep, or breathe without Potiphar, this dude's, permission. And Joseph, with dreams as dead as they can possibly get, learned the secret of being with the Lord. Does anybody here think Joseph wanted to be here? Does anybody want to be sold into slavery against your will? Of course not. Yet Joseph was successful because he knew how to be with the Lord. Can I just tell you something real quick? Your success doesn't come from you, but it comes from Him who is with you. One more time. Your success, if you've ever been successful in anything, like, I'm super proud of you. I really am. But your success is not your success. It's God working on your behalf. Okay? This is a really humbling kind of thought here, but this is what happens. We don't really have time to dig into how to handle the substance of success because of the Lord being with you. But a long sermon, we're going to make it really short. Return the glory to the God who brought the success to you. Okay? Your success is actually His success working through you, so give Him credit for what He's done.
Right. Okay, that's
good. Boom. Church, just be with the Lord. Prioritize time with Jesus. If it's been a while, start slow. I encourage people all the time, just do like a 10 to 10. 10 minutes reading the Word, 10 minutes in prayer. You might start with like a 3 and 3. It don't matter. Just start somewhere. Okay? If it's been a hot minute, just read. We've got an awesome reading plan that we're going through as a church. We've got more of those laid out on the welcome table. Jump in right with us. Like, we're all digging in. We've got a group that we're like sharing things back and forth with each other. Like, hey, this one stood out to me today. What do you think about that? And then like a whole flurry of people are jumping in, commenting on what the Word of God is speaking to you. Okay? Join us. It's amazing. I can tell you one thing, that as even if you start slow, as you get to know the Lord, your relationship with Him begins to grow, and you understand how vital it is to your everyday life to simply be with the Lord. We understand that we are actually dependent on God for literally everything we have, and dependence on the Lord only it requires real time with the Lord. Be with the Lord. This is good stuff today. It's super easily digestible, but the problem is it takes action on your part. I don't know that there's ever been a message that I've ever preached that I haven't said you should pray and you should read the Bible. You know what I'm saying today in a roundabout way?
Yeah.
You should pray and you should read the Bible. This is nothing new. It really isn't. Joseph, my man, knew that the Lord was with him. But there's another lesson that I think most of us would like to ignore. I think some of us do a fantastic job of this. But the other lesson, and you know, we can all understand, especially in a church setting, how being with the Lord is going to be beneficial to our life. This is not super difficult to understand. But Joseph also understand that when your dream goes dormant, you serve with your best in your current season. Let me read verse 2 again. Okay. The Lord was with Joseph. My goodness. I'm like halfway through and they're only on verse 2. There's a wrap up coming, I promise. Don't worry. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Serve when your dream goes dormant. Serve with your absolute best in whatever season you find yourself in. Be with the Lord, serve with your best, okay? I'll just say, this is not what any of us would want to do, especially if we were in Joseph's position. He was in forced slavery with no chance of escape, no hope of ever seeing his family again. His dreams were more than just dormant. They were plumb dead. Yet Joseph found success in his season because he served his master with his best. Let's think about the other side of this. Like, if I get sold into slavery, my pathetic attitude is going to get in the way of me serving my best. Like, I'm going to end up being a slacker. I'm going to do the bare minimum, and that's all you're getting from me. I'm in slavery. I mean, come on, give me a break. But that's not what would happen. But what if Joseph would have been a slacker? Like, life absolutely had dealt him a bad hand. Nobody would fault him for being a slacker. But I'll just say, success does not come to slackers. Just doesn't. The Bible puts it like this: a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief. And scarcity, that means you ain't got much, like an armed man. Success doesn't come to slackers. It doesn't happen. Success comes to those who are humble, who are hungry, and those people who know how to hustle. Okay? Humble, hungry, and hustle. As a leader, I'm always looking to expand the team, but I'm not looking for a slacker. I'm looking for people who know how to give 100%, even if they feel like just 10%. That's what we're looking for, because 10% of somebody giving 100% is still more than 100% of somebody who's only giving 10.
Right.
Did you follow that?
Yeah.
I had to practice that one. That was a tough one for me. Joseph served with his best in every season. And here's what Paul, with a dude who wrote most of the New Testament, here's what he said in Colossians. He said, slaves, you know who he was talking about? Slaves. That's not a metaphor for anything. Slaves, so like Joseph, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord, not for human masters. Church, can I just tell you, believers, Christians, people who claim to follow the Lord, people who claim to be with the Lord, should absolutely be the best employees in the whole world.
Right.
We should. We should be the best employers. We should be the hardest workers. We should be the least complainers. I'm just saying, like, there's this stigma of lazy Christianity that I just don't understand. If I'm chasing Jesus, I'm in an active pursuit of the God who created me. There's no laziness about it. Like, you're sitting in a church only because a team showed up early and literally built it. The chair you're sitting on was brought out because somebody loved you enough to let you sit down. Like, this is just the reality of where we are. Somebody served with their best, and now we're here. But let me tell you this too. When the Lord is with you and you're serving in serving with your best, other people will take notice. Can we go on to verse 3? Is that okay? Let's add 3 and 4 together. Look, verse 3. Potiphar, Joseph's owner, noticed this. What did he notice? Let's go back to 2. Then the Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did. Verse 3 again. Okay. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. And you know what? This pleased the boss man. If I got somebody that whatever he touches turns to gold, that makes me happy. It's too easy. Like, you don't have to have a business mind to understand that. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. So y'all remember at the beginning, we had the king, Pharaoh, we had Potiphar, and we had Joseph. He's like way down here under the table. But because the Lord was with him, and he served with his best in his terrible season, the boss man grabbed Joseph and promoted him to number 3. People will notice when the presence of God is on your life. It will be unmistakable. Who else can take you from a literal pit to the palace? Only God Almighty. Verse 5, let's keep going. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. Maybe the blessing of the Lord on your life is simply waiting for your best. I'm going to say that again because I want you to really get it, okay? Maybe the blessing on your life is just waiting for you to give your best. Can I tell you what's going to happen when you give your best? You're going to get physically tired. Because it does get physically tiring. You serve people and love people. You know why? Because sometimes people can be people. And y'all, sometimes people are people. Can I be honest with you? Like, sometimes people are just people. But maybe your blessing and their blessing is both attached to your best. Maybe the reason you serve with your best is so that the blessing of the Lord will flow through you, not just to you.
Yeah, that's
Verse 6 goes on to say, all his household affairs ran smoothly and his crops and livestock flourished. This is a blessing from the Lord to somebody who doesn't know the Lord. Somebody who has never intentionally spent time being with the Lord, like what we just talked about, is now receiving blessing from somebody else who learned how to be with the Lord and serve with his best. All his household affairs ran smoothly and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about anything except what kind of food to eat. Life decisions, man. Y'all, this gets tough. Come on. Be with the Lord. Serve with your best. People notice when God's presence is consistently about you. There's just something markedly different about your life. I'm talking like the joy by which you complete your menial job Monday through Friday. I'm talking about the love with which you show your coworkers who don't reciprocate. I'm talking about the peace which comes, the peace by which you carry yourself through your problems. There's something different about people who have been with the Lord and are serving with their best. When you know the Lord is with you, it's easy to serve with your best because you know the Lord's going to bless you and those around you. It's just that easy. So let me encourage you, find a way to serve somebody new, especially if you're trying to resurrect a dormant dream that's got kicked down by life itself. When it feels like your dream goes dormant, the greatest way to wake it back up is spend time with the Lord and serve people, maybe serve somebody else's dream while you're pursuing your own. You can find a serve team here at the branch. We mentioned it before, like this church doesn't magically appear every Sunday. I know it might look like that because our team is so amazing. But this stuff takes work. We have people serving in branch kids. They just love on kids, teaching them about the Lord, hugging on babies. Like, it's amazing. Maybe that's the way that you can serve the Lord. Well, what about like the dream team, the welcome team, the people that make you feel welcome as you walk through the door, give you 1,000 high fives or help get checked in, or we got an alert team walking around that y'all don't even see because they're so good at their job. We have a spot for you. If you're already on a team, you can invite those around you to serve with you and make it fun. You can serve the Lord with a friend. It's just too easy, okay? If your dream is dormant, find a new way to serve the Lord. And that'll revive the spark of your dormant dream. It really does. Maybe our problem isn't that our dream went dormant. But maybe our problem today is that we've not done anything with the dream that God has already given us. And so it might even feel like your dream is dormant, but maybe God is still just waiting for your best to take over so his blessings can flow through it. You know, a lot of times we catch ourselves looking forward to what's coming next. This is me. This is me to a fault. I'm the visionary. I can tell you what this church is going to look like 20 years from now. We're not even at our 1 year birthday, which is going to be awesome, by the way. But I can tell you what it's going to look like 20 years from now. But without Amanda and her planning, we would never have made it to step one. I'm always ready for what's coming next, but God has me in this season for a specific purpose. It would be foolish of God to continue to stack dream upon dream if nothing is ever done about what's already been given you. Maybe we're too busy looking forward that we forget to serve others with our best because, you know, well, I'm better than this. I'm too good for stacking chairs. Can I knock you down real quick? You're not. Okay. You're not too good. Maybe it's like, I won't be here long, so I'm just going to do what I got to do, pay the bills, then I'm out. Maybe you're at that dead-end job to resurrect some dead dreams from other people. Maybe, you know, I'm just not super passionate about flipping burgers, so I'm not going to give it my best. maybe this is not my dream, Ryan. You just don't get it. I'm in this season and this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I know I'm supposed to be doing something different. I'm supposed to be starting that business, but I'm stuck over here. I made these bad decisions, you know, a few years ago, and now I'm still trying to pay for them. When your dream is dormant, there's still dreams all around you. You just have to see them for what they are. There are ways for you to serve somebody else. The Bible says if you can be faithful with what is somebody else's, then I know you will be faithful with what's yours. Maybe your season of serving others is setting you up to serve others at a higher capacity. Can I tell you what leadership is? Serving others. Can I tell you what starting a business is? It's serving the community, serving others. Can I tell you what advancing your career is? Serving others with a new job title. This is what learning to serve others in new ways. That's what advancing your career is. Worship team, can y'all help me out? Be with the Lord, church. Serve others with your best. I'm going to run through the rest of chapter 39 for us real quick. So just hang tight. We made it to what? Verse 5? Something like that. I'm not going to read this to you, but here's a quick run through, okay? After Joseph went from the literal pit, he was bought by Potiphar and then elevated to number 3 over all of Egypt. Not just in Potiphar's house, like all of Egypt. Joseph's right there at the top. Like he's top dog at this point. And then we see, and I mentioned it last week, that Joseph's actually a good looking dude. Okay, he's a good looking dude. His new owner's wife took notice that he was a good looking dude. And was like, hey, what's up? How you doing? She like tried, I think it's 3 times within 4 or 5 verses. Come to bed with me. Come sleep with me. Come sleep with me. And Joseph, being a man of integrity, like he's been with the Lord long enough, he knows how to say no. My man, like, the Bible says Joseph avoids her at all costs. She, like, sneaks in, gives him, like, a big back hug, and like, come on, let's go. And Joseph, he just takes off. He's gone. But she's got his coat in her hand. She ends up telling a lie and said, hey, this Joseph dude tried to sleep with me, tried to rape me. So naturally, Potiphar, the husband, stood up for the wife, as he should. Took Joseph, who just spent everything he had, served with his best, spent time with the Lord. The boss took him, threw him back in prison. So my man Joseph goes from the pit to the palace. Now he's back at the prison. But there's something else that stands out. Let me start in verse 20 and read just a quick bit to you, okay? It says, so he took Joseph, threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. Oh, but the Lord. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden made Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Are you seeing this pattern? Joseph from the pit to the palace to the prison. Now he's at the top of the prison. And yet the whole time, all things are working together for his good. All things. So you know what you do when your dream goes dormant? You be with the Lord and you serve with your best. In case you forgot, the Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything that he did. And Jacoby, I don't know if you know this, but all things tend to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Like all things, because He's like intentional and stuff. Isn't that cool how that works out? Did you know what I was talking about? All things, that's what the Word of God says, work together for the good of those who love God. So when you find yourself in the pit, you can be assured that God's working it all out for your good. When you find yourself back in the palace, you still know God is working it all out for your good. No matter where you find yourself in life, God is working it out. And so when it feels like your dream went dormant, you know that God's not done because your good is still coming. Can I tell you the secret? Can I tell you the secret of reviving a dream that went dormant? Stop seeking the dream and start seeking the dream giver. Stop seeking the success and start seeking the substance of the success. Stop seeking all the accolades that are going to come eventually when my dream comes to pass and start seeking the Almighty. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. With your focus being on the Lord, on your focus on being with the Lord and serving with your best. Y'all, your dreams, whether they're alive and active and big and vibrant or they've been in the season of being dormant, God is working it all out for your good. That's just what He does. Y'all jump to your feet with me real quick. I want to remind you just one more time. In one chapter, this is chapter 39. You can go and read this yourself. In verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph. Okay, that's cool. Let's go again. You know, one time's an anomaly, but you see it several times in the same chapter. You better perk up, okay? Here we go. 21, the Lord was with Joseph. 23, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Ryan. The Lord's with Amanda. The Lord's with Piper. The Lord's with Caleb. The Dasana, Ben, Cam, Kane. The Lord's with you. Prayer team, would you make yourselves available real quick? Mr. Jonathan, yeah. I know what it is to have your dreams completely crushed and feel like there's no way, like there's no hope of reviving this. I know what it feels like. I've lived it. But I'm just here to tell you, no matter what, the Lord is with you. He's got your back. That's what He does. So I want to pray for you. Corporately together, and then our team is here, and we want to pray with you. If you're in this season of my dream just being completely dormant, we want to pray with you. We want to love on you. We want to encourage you to chase down what God has done in your life, what He's calling you to do in your life. Can I make one more thing? Maybe you're here today and you're like, you know what? This is all good and well, but I don't even know the Lord, so how am I supposed to be with Him? I don't know what that means. Maybe I've got this idea of a dream, but I don't even know who the dream giver really is. Let me just tell you, Jesus, God's one and only Son, loved us so much that He came and He paid the price for our mistakes. Our sin. By the way, the price for our sin is death. So we don't have to do that. Jesus already did. And He did that so we would have the opportunity to pursue the dreams God has placed in our lives. Now, do me a quick favor. Bow your heads real quick, everybody. If you're here and you're like, you know what, Ryan? I don't know the Lord. I've never asked Jesus into my heart. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how to even live that out. We You just feel that tug in your spirit. Y'all, we can talk about this later, but there, what happens in these moments of just being with the presence of God is that everything about your life begins to change. The whole trajectory of where you're going, it shifts, and you begin chasing down the real dream that God has placed in your life. If you're here and you're like, Ryan, I've never asked Jesus into my life before. I don't know the dream giver at all, but I want to. I just want you to look up, connect me in the eyes real quick. We're going to say a simple prayer. I got you. Okay. Got you. We're going to say a simple prayer. Anybody else? We're going to move forward. Okay. Church, we got some people that are ready to chase Jesus. So y'all help us. I'm going to say a simple little bit. Y'all repeat it back with me, okay? Everybody. Say, hey, God. It's me. I'm here. I know you're here. I know you're with me. I'm ready to be with you. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and my Savior. Let's chase this dream. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, y'all. That's a big deal. That's a really big, big deal. That's so good. Okay. Hey, our prayer team is here. Y'all got a song? Yeah, you there. We're going to worship. Join with the... We're going to worship. If we can pray with you, even about anything else, we are here where it is our desire to... We love praying with y'all. Okay, we pray for you all the time, but we want to pray with you, okay? We can pray with you about anything. We are here. Let's go, team. Come on. Hey, we like to say something here at the end of every service. Just drive home our response to who God is, okay? So y'all help me. Jesus said, I'm the vine, so
we are the branch.
So everywhere you go,
be the branch.
Hey, God bless. If this is your first time, we want to meet you right at the door. We got a gift for you.